Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, how blessed are they who love the presence of God. Oh, how prosperous is the way of those that obey his commandments. Shall we all be satisfied with long life, peace, prosperity, and be blessed in every good, proper, and positive thing. Oh, let us come into his courts with praise, enter into his house with thanksgiving, because it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. And when we let the praises of God go up, the very blessings of the kingdom of heaven come down. And when we trust in him, we shall be satisfied. Because he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation. Oh, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and praises unto the name of the Most High. I have read for your soul's inspiration and for your spiritual edification the 91st division of Psalms, the Psalms of God's promise of deliverance to all they that love and obey him. What a wonderful day to be in the land of the living, to be on the terrestrial plane of things. That is a time that God is showing his hand great and mighty. I know many of us have been through those seasons when we couldn't even adequate the fact or the reasons that God allowed these things to come to pass. But the Lord said, I do these things unto you for your good, so that you may know that it is my hand that hath delivered you. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for thy amazing grace and for thy miraculous hand, for thy omnipotence, thy omniscience, and thy omnipresence that has crossed over the very span of time and has been complacent with your children. And Father God, we're asking that those who have tuned into the Wisdom Alliance, that they will find the word of knowledge that will quicken them, that will change that negative situation and accentuate it to being a positive situation, that the hand that turned away will turn to them, and that the prosperity that the word of God tells us of will pour into their lives, into our lives, and we won't have space to put the blessing. Father God, we just love you. We acknowledge you as being God, and beside you, there being none other. And thank you for allowing us to tread upon the serpent and to walk upon their adders. of this very world. And we thank you for that reminiscent statement by our Messiah saying, behold, I am the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. We acknowledge you, we praise you, we exalt your name to the highest. In my blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. What a very unusual way for us to go into the Wisdom Alliance on this blessed, blessed Sunday morning. You got it. It is the 22nd of the month. Lord, my God, give us strength. It is not the 22nd, it is the 29th. Now, see, what I did is a way of getting your attention. I gave you the wrong date. You know why? Because many of you were going to receive that this is the 22nd of the month. No, according to the standardized interpretation of measurement by intervals, according to man's calendar, the man's clock, it is Sunday, the 29th. Of January, the year 2017. I did that on purpose because you know why? A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as 1 day. And it doesn't matter what man's calendar says, it's what the clock in heaven reflects. God utilizes seasons for purposes and divine reasons. That's right, so that we can understand his height, his depth, his breath in our lives. The various seasons reflect certain events, certain occurrences in your life, in my life. But it is there to give us reckoning, to give us reasoning as to how the hand of God works. That's why we won't fully understand because we're encased in these physical parchments known as the human anatomy. But with our minds, we bring within our spirits, within our hearts, rest our souls, so that to the level of which we're able to apprehend that which is apprehendable, we can understand. And then when we understand with the spirit mind, the soul man begins to nourish the body. That's why, see, the mind steers the body, but the soul man, the heart, replenishes the body. And then when the body becomes replenished and the mind refurbished, we become that metaphysical presence in this present world because we look at the things and the circumstances of this world, the catastrophes, the anomalies, the hardships, the very essence of things that are going on. We see that there's no standard of measurement as it relates to the human nature being balanced. And when you know who God is and what he represents and the very powers of heaven are at your disposal, you are more, I am more than a conqueror through him that loved us. So in knowing these things, we're able to walk victoriously, to live victoriously without any degree of contemplation. And the word tells us that many are the afflictions. What are afflictions? Things that sometimes occur that try your very being, that try to knock you off balance. To see, the enemy has confiscated a plan, launched a strategic plan to kill your joy. That's right. You kill a person's joy, they lose the very joy of living. They get out of the spirit aspect of existing and they begin to act carnally. They say things, they act in ways that is totally in reflective of their true nature and true character. Steal what? When you steal something, you swipe it. Rob you of your opportunities. Rob you of the things that you know, rightfully so, you have attained. Not just take it, but try to denigrate it to such a level where you become incomplacent. And then the third mission is to tear down the saints of the Most High God. How do you tear the saints down? By getting them to doubt their belief system, doubt their salvation, doubt whether God is able to do what he said he's going to do, doubt who you are in God as to whether or not you're truly sealed with the redemptive seal of salvation. So when you put all these three strategic arsenals under one heading, Saint Lucifer, the enemy, the devil, the lying wonder. This is considered as an effective tool to get people out of faith and get them into sight. That's right, sight of the world, living like the world, conducting like the world, doing as the world. And since we know what the strategic plan is, we must operate through the spirit man. And as God imputes his word and imputes his anointing, but see, the anointing of God is what breaks the yoke, is what destroys the very arsenal of the enemy. And when you call on the name of Jesus, that's right, this is when God's attention is solely focused upon you. You know, as our earthly parents, they knew that we were there in their household. They gave some degree of focus to us. But lo and behold, when we called on our earthly parents, come on here now, can I get a witness out there in the listening audience? There was something about when you called on your parents and you called them by their entitlement. You didn't dare call them by their first name. Oh, no, that was considered a blasphemy and disrespectful. But when you called your parent, that time seemed special. Whatever your mother was doing, she dropped it. She was holding a conversation on the phone. She dropped it. And she was doing something as it related to domestic engineering. She stopped it. Why? Because you called her mother, mom, mama. She ran. Why? Because she knew that it was an urgent situation. And the same is reflected. If you had a father in the home, and so many of us may have not have had that presence, but if you called them, if they were the acting parent, and you would call upon them immediately, their focus was taken off whatever it was that they were doing or attempting to do to see what it was that was needful at that time to support or to help you. So when we call on the name of Jesus, Yeshua, we get our Heavenly Father's fullest of focus, and he responds to our cry. Because why? There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Now, this is not talking about salvation. That's not just talking about salvation. That's talking about deliverance. They're talking about expeditious needs, everything. He said, at the name of Jesus, Yeshua, every knee must bow. Every circumstance must subside. Every criticality must be denigrated, removed, and destroyed. Every tongue. I mean, everyone has to acknowledge that he is Lord. Even the minions acknowledge it. They flee. The lying tongues, the minions. Lucifer, his presence itself has to flee because he knows that's the name that he has to bow to. And that the very eternal faith rests upon the name of Jesus, that he is Lord. He is Lord to the glory of God. And this is our confidence this morning. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in the continental U.S. of A., whether you're in Canada, South America, Australia, Antarctica, Africa, Europe, Asia. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. God is omnipresent. It doesn't matter where you live, whether it's a city, a village, a town, a shanty. It doesn't matter. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. When you get out of your strength and you realize that you need the hand of God, the miracle hand of God, to move in your situation, this is where you are and this is what you will receive. The fullness of his power thereof. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what your gender specifications are, because God is a God of fulfillment and of promise. He doesn't look at some and say, oh, so they have first priority and others are secondary. He looks at all of his children and say, why? Because he sees us through the eyes of Jesus, his only begotten Son. That's right. And we are joint heirs. He had a son, but he wanted an extended family. We are part of that extended family. That's right. And because we are part of that extended family, We have the same rights and same entitlements as our Messiah has. That's right, because we are his children and the sheep of his pasture. That's right. And it's a good thing to know this because we know who we are in him and what he has destined us to be and destined for us to have. I know we've been definitely getting into the word of God as it relates to seasons, because behind seasons, there's always reasons. That's right. Seasons reflect reasons. Why? Things need to grow. Things need to be cultivated. Things need to be harvested. Things need to be frozen or destroyed and started all over from scratch. So every season reflects a specific chain of events. Let's go to the 15th verse in the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of the preacher, actually the book of teaching, of sound doctrine, that's of self-control, of moderation. I know that Proverbs gave us an analysis and reflected of two components, the right path and the wrong path, but Ecclesiastes brings to life the essence and the result of either of those paths. And here, let's read the 15th verse. That which has been is now, and that which is to be have already been, and God requires that which is past. What is he saying to us? What is Solomon saying to us, the wisest man considered upon the planet Earth? He's saying that there is nothing new under the sun. Read Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, and 9th verse, that there is nothing new under the sun. That means that the things that we see here in this present time have occurred in times past. It was on a different level, but it yet occurred in times past. That's right. There were disobedient people then, as there are disobedient people now. There were unthankful people then. There are unthankful people now. There was poverty then. There is poverty now. And God's presence comes to break the chain of poverty. That's right, in the life of the believers. Why? Because as believers, we have to be the suppliers. We have to be the ones to administer to a sick and dying world. Because if you look at it correctly, this world, this society has gone to hell. And the only light of heaven that this world has is through us and with us and in us. And so, therefore, we have to be the suppliers. That's right, in this present day and time. How else can we reach those who are lost, who are seeking salvation and seeking to know God? By our substance. And this is what we must do. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. What is Solomon saying? He says, you know what? I considered these things in times past and present, and I see the very anomalies of mankind, and I've seen the way that people conducted themselves in the midst of turmoil, and it was not pleasant. You had the haves and you had the have-nots. You have the do-gooders, and you have those that couldn't do any good. And as a result of the separations of the various classifications of people, it has stirred up turmoil. It has stirred up iniquity. Many feel that they've been depleted from the very essence of what life has to offer. And this is where the confusion comes in. This is where the catastrophe sets in. That's right. If a certain organization or belief system feels as though they have been oppressed for a long time and have not been given the rightful referendum to express their belief, they become aggressive. They become tumultuous. That's right. That's why you have the radical Islamic movement. That's right, because why? These people were taught that the Christian society or anything outside of the faith of Islam has oppressed them, has isolated them, has rejected them. And here the enemy comes in their minds and tells them that you've got to grab your arsenal and fight the physical battle in order to relay your spiritual message. And this is where they fall short. That's right. But because iniquity abounds, the love of many has just waxed and cold. It doesn't bother many of us when we go inside our beautiful houses and things and we're warm and we're eating good food and we have a meaningful relationship under our domain. It doesn't bother us that there's people out here who don't have enough food to eat. It doesn't bother us that there are people who can't meet their financial obligations. Some are month to month, meaning year to year. They can't even meet them day to day. It doesn't bother some of us. It doesn't bother some of us that there's a widow two doors down who doesn't have any associative family members or else has ungrateful children who don't look in on her. So we don't pray for her. We don't consider her as being a meaningful part of our lives. Because why? That's not on our agenda. God is disrupting agendas. That's right, of those who profess to be Christians. Why? He wants us to be up and about his business. But sometimes we have to tear up our agenda to receive the very agenda that the kingdom of heaven has for us. That's why God doesn't give us material wealth for us to say we live good, we look good, we have the best. He gives it to us by entrusting us with a tool that can kill poverty, that can kill lack, that can kill iniquity, that can destroy, because money answers all things on this earth. And that's why he gives us these substances, so that we can administer to the needs and the necessities of those who are in lack. That's right. So God gives us a vehicle so that we can help transport other people from point A to point B. God gives us sound health so that we can assist and help others. So everything has a purpose. Everything has a reason. Everything has a season, and we must respect the season and definitely regard the reason in which God has given it to us. Does anyone really know what time it is? No. We're looking at calendar dates. We're looking at the measurement of hours, minutes, seconds as a way, and weeks and months and years as a way of measurement. No, God predicts time. Mankind tries to monitor time, but God sets the time according to his standard. And as Solomon said, I've seen all these things. For every good, there was a bad. For every sad, there was a glad. There's always a balance. He said, and I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. So there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. What is he saying? He says God is going to judge them just as well. That's why God said in his word, he said, whom I loveth, I chasteneth. That means the righteous, those who are children, because sometimes even though we're righteous, because we want to do the right thing, we're walking in the right path, we can fall by the wayside. We sometimes get caught up in the flesh, get caught up in the affairs of this world, and we become too worldly. And God sees us getting out of the way of things, and before he allows destruction or something bad to happen to us, he whips us into shape. He started letting negative things come our way. He started letting negative circumstances occur. Things start breaking down. What you thought you had solid and resilient becomes apparently denigrated to a point where it gets your attention. It's not that God is taking anything from us. He's trying to get our attention. And when we get our attention back focused on the season, the reason, and the creator of whom all things flow, then God allows divine favor to flow back into our lives. That's right. And this is why it's so important that we should keep these things definitely under quick observance, so that at any time we will not let them slip. He said that God's going to judge the wicked. The wicked are being judged even now, because the wicked, to those of us who repent and say, God, I'm sorry, I have been negligent in my prayer life. I've been negligent in my doing and my giving. Forgive me, Heavenly Father, and God forgives us. God has made the wicked, our adversaries, our footstool. They're nothing but something we can kick around and kick under the rug and kick out the door and keep it moving. The main thing is that we must keep moving up the King's highway and not get distracted by all this foolishness that's in the world, by all these things that are coming up in society. I've seen more people post things negative about the new president than I have actually seen them post things about job openings. That's right. And any time you see more negativity being placed upon the governmental official, you're absorbing and giving all your energy to negativity, to a person that is going to still be there complacent until something else is done about it. You're wasting time, energy, and effort talking about the people that support them, the things that they've done. You know what? These things are relevant, but you have to understand sometimes, too, God allows chastisement sometimes to come in high places. You know why? Because we've gotten our eyes off of the focus of what we're here on this earth to do, and that is to definitely validate the presence of God through our living, our lifestyle, our giving, our prosperity, our health, and through our measurements of how we conduct our business. And when we fail, God allows chastisement. That's right. That's right. Like Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar didn't just take position merely because he was a favored man. No, he took position because God allowed him. That's right, because the children of Israel had become so combative, so ill-regressive as it related to being obedient to propagating the truth about the one God system. That's right, the monotheistic system, which is the one God system. God allowed a bigger and a more pagan man to take position in King Nebuchadnezzar. That's right, Nebuchadnezzar was a cruel man. That's right, he was a man that would not bend. He was a man that was straightforward, outright wicked. God allowed him. You know why? Because the children of Israel had gotten too relaxed in that society, and they tried to configure and fit in. So what happened? He disrupted their plan. That's right, by allowing Nebuchadnezzar. But what happened? When the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who did not sell up or sell out, and they refused to bow down to the system, and God protected them and did not allow hurt, harm, or danger to come upon them, after that, he was a marked man, because God said, you served your purpose, you served your season, time for you to move forward. He tried to still stagnate and remain in that position. What happened? He crawled on his belly and licked the dust just as a serpent, because he crossed the wrong path. See, nobody can take you off your game unless you stop by the wayside and play the game. Now, what if the three Hebrew boys would have stopped by the wayside to play the game? They would have been destroyed. They would have been obliterated, but because they knew why they were there and wouldn't bow down, they had to be that strong witness for God. Their presence brought down a great and mighty man. And then straightway, right after that, he went down to the dogs. Beneath the dogs became nothing better than a serpent. Why? Because he refused to acknowledge the presence of God through God's children, those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And I love that song that said, Jesus is going to fix it after a while. That's why I talk about how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fiery furnace. And this I know, God took the heat out the fire. Because why? God, through Jesus, is going to fix it after a while. It's already fixed. It doesn't have to be fixed. How would you fix something that's already been mended? All you do is to utilize what it is to the best of your ability to get the job done. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that means the descendants of men, the children, the people, the citizens, that God might manifest them and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. When he breaks it down, Solomon is saying, you know, there are no such things as the haves and have-nots. We're all the same. In God's eyes, we are all his people. But some of us have allowed the world to separate us. And this is the reason why we have to come through the name of Jesus Christ. Because why? Sin, from the first Adam, separated mankind from God. We were no longer his beloved children. We were his children, but we were not beloved. Because why? The imparchment of sin, of disobedience, overtook mankind. And mankind became defiled and defiant through the nature of the flesh. So therefore, we became separated from him. Instead of being called the sons of God, we were called the sons of men through natural expression, through the birthing process of the natural man, or through the physiological anatomy. We became the sons of men. He said, so that God might manifest them. That means that God might reclaim them, because why? Mankind had gotten so low that there was no hope for him. God had sent the prophets, that's right, to minister the word. The prophets, well, they were fervent in their mission. The heart of mankind needed to be changed. Why? Because there needed to be an inner translation. That's right. There needed to be an inner transfusion from that stone heart to a fleshly heart. And the only way that that could be done, mankind had to be penetrated from within, for the external standpoints of salvation were not working. So this is the reason why Jesus Christ, our Messiah, had to come, because in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning. And then was God made manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and then received up into glory. Why? Because salvation had to come through the spirit man. And there we have the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ, the perfect man, knew no sin. God, Emmanuel, God with us. He redeemed mankind from the eternal fate of separation, which is considered condemnation or damnation. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's right, because the blood is what atones us, connects us back to the Father. And the water, the redemptive tie, is what washes us white as snow. Because, see, flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because why? That which is of the flesh is of the flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is of the spirit. So now this is why we receive the new birthing confirmation through Jesus Christ. We are no longer considered separatists from God. We are considered connected to him. We are now part of his extended family. Praise his holy name. He says, for that which befalls the sons of men befalls the beast. That means the fate of mankind falls. Men pass away just as beasts pass away. That's right. The avarices, the birds, they pass away. Everything under the sun has a duration, has a season. Even one thing that befalleth them, as one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they all have one breath, so that a man have no preeminence above a beast for all his vanity. That's right. And, you know, the thing is, it's so perplexing to me, is that some people live for the day as though they're going to just live forever, and that's not the case. For it's once appointed unto a man to be born, and appointed to him to die one time. And after that cometh the judgment. The final resting place. That's what judgment means. The final destination of either we are going to paradise or to Hades. That's right. And so this is what he's saying. So why be they? That's right. Live as though today is your last day alive on the planetary domain. That's right. There's only two men, that's right, who never saw death, natural men. And that was Elijah, the prophet of the whirlwind, and Enoch. That's right. These two, Elijah was taken up on the windstorm, on the wind cloud, and God received him into glory. And then Enoch was translated. That means he just was changed from a natural to a supernatural spirit man, and God received him. These were the only two men that did not die physically. That's right. So if everything liveth, it's going to expire or be terminated or die. He said, and that's for man and for beast. So what makes mankind think that he's so superlative, he can defy God? So sure, we can utilize good nutritional practices, get plenty of exercise, abstain or moderate certain behaviors, but still face the fact, whether it's today, tomorrow, the next day, 10 years from now, 100 years from now, 20 years from now, you're going to leave this world. And your final destination is the mainstay of all things. All go into one place. All are of the dust, and all return to the dust. That's right. So man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. This is what he's confirming, okay? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So you came, so shall you return. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? I've heard some people say, you know what? Dogs have their own heaven. Mankind has their own heaven. That is not scripturally correct. That is not biblically astute to even say something like that. Paradise is reserved for those souls. The first phase of heaven is reserved for those souls who love God, who respected his word, who were not perfect, because perfect people don't need a Messiah. They don't need a Savior. Imperfect people, such as you and I do. But those are the people who inhabit paradise, the kingdom of heaven, are those who love God, accepting him at his word, receive the new birth of salvation, attain that eternal promise. And once you attain that eternal promise, you may fall by the wayside. You may get distracted, but you are eternally sealed unto that day of redemption. You're sealed. You're a God. You have been reclaimed back into the family. You may not be a close connected family member as you should have been, but you are in the family. That's right. And we know that in heaven, there's going to be white robes, white raiment, and white garments. That's right. And the robes are the highest level of authoritative measure, because these were they who have come out of great tribulation and have washed themselves in the blood of the Lamb and have made themselves white. That's right. And we're going to definitely get into Revelations later on this year. Wherefore, I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall he be or what comes after him? What are you saying? So therefore, a man should glory in what he does, how he lives. It's not a sin to be rich. It's a blessing to be rich. It's not a facade or a wicked thing to be wealthy. It's a blessing to be wealthy, but it's how we utilize our riches, how we utilize our wealth to administer to those who don't have is what God looks at. I know the scripture says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know why? That was a parable. That was an analogy saying don't allow earthly things to distract you from your heavenly purpose as God's children. And I know I'm not going to let it do it to me, because I realize that with wealth comes responsibility, comes accountability, that we have to do what is right, befitting in the eyes of God, administering to the needs of the needy, visiting those who don't have, giving to the necessity of the saints, just being a blessing to those who need it so well. How are men going to know that God is? And then he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we're not the arsenal, or we're not the operative measure to exonerate the truth of God's presence. We are the ambassadors, that's right, to do this great work. And we have to do what is asked of us. So he's saying, by your works, your works. Your works are your legacies. Your works are your mementos to present generations, and even to generations to come, even when you're no longer of the earthly regime. People will remember you for what you've done, and most of all, God will remember you for what you have done. And this is how we're going to be rewarded in the kingdom of heaven. That's right. That's how we're going to be regarded in the kingdom of heaven. So these things are very important, that we have a balance in our lives. The consummation of this third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes is saying, have balance. Understand that there's a purpose and reason for everything that is in your life, in your existence, and that you should use those factors as a way of getting you more focused, more appeasing to God. And the more that you please God, he will make sure pleasant and wonderful things happen for you and to those who are around you. And his blessings shall continue to flourish upon you, upon me, and to all of us who are obedient and believe. But we have to respect the reasons and the seasons. Therefore, we'll always know what time it is without even looking at our watches. That's right. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the coming together, the meaning of the minds to focus upon the very issues of the hearts. But we know that out of the abundance of our hearts, the mouth is speaketh. And I'm asking that every listener, everyone on the sound of my voice, receive the very blessings in their lives that reflect the wealth and the riches and the candor and the splendor of the kingdom of heaven. That's right, because thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father God, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you exceedingly, that everyone be blessed and continue to be that blessing that you have required of us. And God bless all of you. We're looking to see you next week. You can inbox me your prayer request, and certainly we're going to give you some updated information about teaching a class about receiving those who have fallen by the wayside. For those of you who have been hurt through the congregational setting, we have the methodology. We have the spiritual knowledge to get you restored back to where you need to be and where you belong. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all grace, ask, and even think. Make sure you inbox us. That's right. On the